You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner. Today I'm joined by Ned Coletti. We're going to start out the show with the MLB At The Plate triple play, which is where Ned and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight, our triple play consists of the Chicago Cubs and the concerns surrounding their team after getting swept by the Padres. Also, why baseball isn't working in either Florida city. Now the Astros just keep rolling along.
The MLB At The Plate triple play, presented by eSurance.
Ryan Schimpf and the Padres just swept the Cubs. 2-1 the final score today. You know, I think it's interesting what Theo Epstein said after this game, Ned. He goes, we're two games out of first place. We're in a competitive race. You don't look into the souls of your players. You look at the standings. I think that's an interesting perspective.
Well, I think that Theo also looks into the souls of his players from time to time. I think that's probably why they have great World Series rings right now. Rizzo is off to a bit of a slow start while he has exhibited some power. Sitting 227, Zobrist 247. Addison Russell, big guy for him last year. Three home runs, 19 RBIs, hitting just 216. Schwarber at 170. Eight home runs, but 170. So their offense has yet to really click. I don't see anybody running away with this division except perhaps the Cubs. I think the Cubs are still the team to beat in the division. I think I'll feel their way if they're still sitting in the same spot a month or two from now. I think they have too much talent. They'll get it together. A lot of emotion winning a World Series. A short offseason, both physically and emotionally, after everything that they did experience and got to celebrate. So it's just a matter of time. Baseball, we evaluate it every day, so it seems to get a little bit worse before it gets better. But I still like the Cubs. I think the Cubs got one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, here's the NL Central for you, and the Cubs have lost six straight. Everybody in that division has lost two in a row or more. Milwaukee's lost two straight. Cardinals have lost three straight. Cubs lost six. Reds have lost three straight. Pirates have lost two straight. It's just that what that division is right now. And unfortunately for the St. Louis Cardinals, and we'll really break them down a little bit later on, but check, this is the St. Louis Cardinals season thus far. They started out 3-9 this year, Ned. Then they went 18-6, and now they're on a 3-10 stretch. It's like, which Cardinals team is this? They're getting beaten up by the Dodgers. I get it, really good team, but man, it's Hyde and Jekyll at this point. They're always going, I don't know which team is going to show up. You know, maybe right now we can predict that the bad one's going to show up because they're in a streak of bad baseball. But to me, that's the only other team that should be able to give the Cubs some type of fight, and they have not been able to get it going either.
I think they're an average team. And I think when you look at that division, there's only one team even over 500. And that's Milwaukee. That's two games over. You can say the same thing about the NL East. You got Washington 13 games over. Mets are in second place. They're four games under 500 in second place. So you've got five teams in the entire National League over 500. Washington, 8.5 game lead. Brew Crew, 1.5 over St. Louis, 2 over the Cubs. Dodgers, Rockies, D-backs. That's the entire National League. You got 15 teams, 10, two-thirds are under 500. So nobody's going to convince me the Cubs ain't going to win a division. There's just not enough good teams in the National League to really challenge. You know who your playoff teams are almost already.
Yeah, and it's just rough to watch the Cubs right now because it's not good baseball. But, again, they're so much more talented than just about every other team out there. And then you put them in that division, too, that it's going to happen, folks. Settle down, six in a row. Now, if we're talking about this on the 1st of September and they're a couple games under 500, all right. Now, maybe even into August, say what's going on with these guys. And I'm still taking them to win the division. A complete embarrassment in Miami. And it just takes, I don't even know what it takes for me to fly off the handle. So I'm going to try and stay calm again, Ned. Tampa Bay, it's just not going to work there. It's not going to work. They're not getting a new stadium. People don't give a damn. It's the truth. They have the worst attendance in baseball. By far, it's not even close. 14,718 a game. If they actually counted butts in the seats, I can't imagine that there'd be more than 10,000. We're talking about a minor league type attendance in Tampa Bay. You know, the Charlotte Knights, the White Sox affiliate in Charlotte, North Carolina, draws an average of about 9,100 per game. And then you got Tampa Bay doing this. And then today in Miami, now the official attendance was 15,100. They have the third worst attendance in baseball at just under 21,000, 20,970. And what is basically a brand new ballpark, which has been a complete bust for the community around there, where they were promised it was going to bring all this this prosper. It hasn't happened. And there was a tweet from a guy with the AP that said, you know, he was counting that there was right around 1,600 fans in the seats. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that was accurate, too. Baseball does not belong in Florida, folks. I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize this. I kind of feel like people in the front office of Major League Baseball know this. It's not moving from Miami because they have that new stadium. It doesn't belong there. People don't care. Tampa Bay, same thing. It doesn't belong there. People don't care. I'm not calling out you Marlins fans and Rays fans that are listening, because you're obviously real baseball fans. There's just not enough of them down there. Maybe there's too many other things to do, but when you have that type of attendance for this long, you look at the bottom rung of attendance every single year in baseball, Ned, it's Miami and Tampa Bay, and it just bothers me. It should be it's a privilege to have a major league team in your city. You know, just and for no one to show up time and time again, just bad atmosphere. It's bad baseball.
Well, and the Marlins have won two World Series in not that too distant past. Tampa Bay went to the World Series with a great team, exciting team with Joe Maddon managing it. You mentioned Tampa Bay's attendance. Why don't we look at a year where you take out the Yankee visits and the Red Sox visits,
yep,
and see what that average would be? It might be under 10,000. Probably under 10,000. Who does that? That's like 1950s attendance or 1940s attendance during the war era. Teams used to draw 500,000, 600,000 fans a game. You take out the Yankees and the Red Sox and you put the typical, you see what the average is and you add that back in, it's got to change. And they're not going to put a new stadium in there, it doesn't seem like. I don't know why at some point in time they don't consider going to Montreal. I think you put Tampa in the AL East, with the Yankees, with the Blue Jays, with the Red Sox, and the Orioles, up in that area where you've got so many great fans that would travel. I tell you what, they would sell out a lot of games before they ever started playing because of who they were playing, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that baseball would work in Charlotte. I mean, just because you get 9,000 announced attendance for a AAA team doesn't mean, you know, you're going to automatically get the 17,000 that they're getting in Tampa right now, or the 14,000, whatever the heck I said that they were getting. But anything seems to be a better alternative to there. And for Miami, how do you get people to go to the game? Win? And even when they win, do they show up? Do they show up? I mean, they had them right in the middle of the pack when they opened up the new ballpark. It's just, it's so frustrating to see baseball there. And it's tough watching it, Ned, and it's tough listening to it. And my sister just moved down to Miami, and she went to a game last week. Mike Trout was there. It's actually the game that he ended up getting hurt. And, you know, sure, she's been to World Series with me. She grew up a Mets fan and was in Boston for a long time. But I got a text from her, and she said, what's going on? Is this really Major League Baseball? And I said, it's funny because I talk about this with my partners all the time, how bad it is. She said, it's the worst atmosphere. It's just dead quiet in there when the best player in the game is there. Just a joke. Stop it. Stop it with this. Either show up or get it out of there. Unfortunately, it's not going out of there because they got that new stadium. And maybe the All-Star game, maybe Miami will turn it up for the All-Star game and they'll change my mind, but I have a hard time believing because of one exhibition that it's going to.
You know what teams typically do, too? I mean, they work to get the All-Star game, and Major League Baseball wants to see them really kind of kickstart their attendance if they are a team that does not have strong attendance. They probably have ticket packages attached to the All-Star game, and they're still drawn the way they're drawn. I don't think it works. You get to the World Series in Miami, yeah, it'll work for a few games. It just doesn't seem to work. And Tampa, I'm sorry. Tampa had great teams there with Andrew Friedman and Joe Maddon, exciting teams that really took it to the big markets of Boston and New York, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Montreal, if you look back at the history of the franchise, and I'm a big proponent of that international city, you'll see that they drew more than a lot of teams in the National League for a long period of time. They will support baseball, and they will support a team like the Rays, because that how hard the Rays play and how they're managed, they would love a team like that. I think that's what's got to happen. Of course, they need a new ballpark, too. I was up at Olympic Stadium a couple falls ago just to stop by and see what it looks like after spending many years there walking in there. And you know, that's not going to be something that you're going to be able to hold major league games in for more than a temporary spot. So there's a lot of work to be done in Montreal, too, if it comes down to where are they going to play. A couple different sites they've discussed, but you still got to put the shovel in the ground and start pouring concrete and get everything else done. And the Canadian dollar is down. It's in the 30 to 35% range last I looked. So a lot of different things that work against Montreal. But right now, nothing works greater than against Tampa.
Yeah, against Tampa, and I'm right there with Miami, too. I'm throwing Miami in there because they're stuck, and it's almost futile. I just had to give my opinion how it's just – it doesn't work. It's a baseball wasteland. It's actually not a good sports town either. You have to win a championship to have any chance of people showing up. You know, maybe the people like the Dolphins. They also had some pretty bad attendance, too. But, you know, LeBron comes, they pack the place, nobody shows up at NBA games after that. Hockey – it's just awkward having hockey down there anyways. And then with baseball, it's a complete bust, ladies and gentlemen. The Houston Astros continue to absolutely roll. You had Bregman hitting a home run. Correa hit a home run. Marwin Gonzalez with a home run. And George Springer hit two, 473 feet. And the Astros just abused the Twins 17-6. They sweep them in this three-game set, Ned. They outscored Minnesota 40-6 in the three-game sweep. They put up 40 runs against the Minnesota Twins, who are still three games over 500, but they had been playing good baseball. Twins bullpen, I think the 15-inning marathon on Sunday really took it out of them. That being said, no excuse to pitch nine innings and give up 28 runs, 26 of which were earned.
That's a lot of runs.
29 hits and six home runs. Yeah, that's a rough one there for the Twins. But for me, this is more about the Astros just going out and clubbing the baseball again.
Houston, how about being 22 games over 500, including 18-6 on the road? People think they're built for their home ballpark. They are to some extent, but they can win any place. 18-6, they've won 9 of their last 10. They're plus 90 in the run differential department. So really a lot going on for them. What they've got to do is they've got to stay healthy. They can't have any long-term injuries. And they gotta keep their foot on the gas, even though the teams behind them aren't 500, and they're an 11.5-game lead over Texas, 11.5-game lead over Anaheim. Certainly don't want to lose that lead and have something crazy happen, but this is not a flukish team. This is a very, very good team that last year kind of took a step back for whatever reason. But this year, whatever they learned last year, they haven't forgotten it.
Yep, and their pitching has been remarkable. You know, McCullers went undefeated with a .99 ERA in the month of May. Dallas Keuchel's back to the 2015 Dallas Keuchel. Charlie Morton has had a resurgence, and you know, just up and down this team. The bullpens look good. The offense is clicking up and down. There really isn't. There's not a spot in this order that I see right now where it's weak. I mean, maybe Nori Aoki hitting eighth, but you got Mariznick who can hit a home run at any time. Marwin Gonzalez leads them in home runs still. Think about that. He's got 12 home runs. He leads them. Springer, Altuve, Correa, Gattis. Brian McCann wasn't even in there. Bregman is on fire up and down the lineup. They are just so, so good. I tell you, they're must-watch television right now. It is a lot of fun to check out the Houston Astros. And on top of that, we got the biggest series of the weekend. The Astros got a night off after this. The Astros and the Rangers are facing off with three games in Arlington. Remember last year, and really the year before that, for two straight years, the Astros could not beat the Rangers. The reason why there was such a big differential in that division last year is because the Rangers were the Astros' daddies. And ultimately, start of this year, actually, it was the end of April, I believe, maybe beginning of May, Astros took 3 of 4, and I think that really got them going. That's a big series for the Rangers, too. They haven't been playing great baseball. They've got the Rays tonight, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be the series of the weekend.
It's a bigger series for Texas than it is for Houston, I feel.
Yes.
You know, Houston wins one game, they're fine. Texas has almost got a sweep in order to really get serious about where they're at. As of today, that would still put them 8.5 back if they could sweep them. It's tough. Houston has really put together a good team. Of course, they lost for a long time. They're kind of like the second coming of the Cubs, where they were losing 100-plus games for a while. Their record was worse than the Cubs over a three-year stretch. And they drafted well because you still got a hit on the picks. They signed players much like the Cubs, traded them on July 31st to get more prospects, continue to build it that way. You got to persevere and you got to live through it. But if you can do that and make the right picks and develop players, this is what you got. You got a team 22 games over 500 that's played 54 games.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Catch tomorrow's baseball starts today with Minor League Baseball on TuneIn. Throughout the season, listen live to the home calls of more than 160 minor league teams. From Class A to AAA games all across the country. With Minor League Baseball on TuneIn, hear top prospects take the field before they get called up. Listen in as players work their way back to Major League Baseball during rehabilitation starts. And catch your favorite minor league players and your favorite teams in action, including Tim Tebow. Listen to Minor League Baseball all season long on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Jeff Nelson.
There were 15 games on Wednesday, and to recap them all in our own special way, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Ned, let's start with you, my friend. On the mound, who's your best day ever?
I'm going out to the Big Apple, actually Flushing, New York. Junior Guerra for the Milwaukee Brewers. Six innings tonight, shutout baseball against the New York Mets, four hits. Beat Jacob deGrom today for Guerra's first win. Struck out four and had three walks. So wins his first game, beats deGrom in New York.
I'm not going to get fancy here. Let's just go right to it. Carlos Martinez had the best outing of anyone today. It was eight innings, four hits, a run, nine strikeouts in the victory. Carlos Martinez was dominating. So there you go. That's my guy, Carlos Martinez. What about at the plate? Who's your guy at the plate?
I'm going to go with Chad Pinder from Oakland. Hit ninth today in the lineup. Three for three, three RBIs. And bigger than that, two home runs.
Yeah. Well, we got two home runs for a few guys today, Justin Bour being one of them. We had a big night for Eric Thames. I was thinking about going with him for best day ever, especially since he was random, quote-unquote random drug tested after hitting a home run and a double tonight. What a joke that is. But let's do this. We're going to go way early this afternoon. 17 runs for the Houston Astros. George Springer went 4 for 4 with two home runs, including a 473-foot blast. Drove in a couple, scored four times. George Springer, best day ever. Speaking of home runs, let's track them.
MLB At The Plate Home Run Tracker.
All right, we start with Joey Votto this afternoon. Hit one 401 feet. Carlos Correa, 386. Marcelo Zuna's 14th went 348 feet. Luke Maley with a 405-foot blast. Twin second baseman Brian Dozier, 424. Paul Goldschmidt and Devin Travis went yard as well. George Springer's home run in the fifth went 381 feet and 114 miles an hour off the bat. Hardest hit home run. Longest home run hit was by George Springer. Went 473 in his second shot and 113 off the bat. Justin Bour hit a pair of home runs today in back-to-back innings, the fifth and the sixth. The one in the fifth went 382. The one in the sixth went 398. Alex Bregman, 385. Eddie Rosario, 390. Jason Castro, the former Astro for the Twins against Houston, hit one 433. Scott Schebler, 16th, went 384. Evan Gattis, also 384. Nick Ahmed, Ryan Schimpf, Jordy Mercer, Marwin Gonzalez, all going yard today as well. Chad Pinder's homer in the third went 421 feet for the A's. How about Chad Pinder's home run in the fifth, going 448, 109 off the bat in the first, 108 for the one that went 448. Francisco Lindor's went 378. Again, Eric Thames, 436 feet, and he was drug tested after the game. Once again, no joke. Keon Broxton, his teammate, 389. Steven Souza Jr.'s blast for the Rays tonight, 111 miles an hour, 455 feet, 455. Adam Jones, 406 for the Orioles. Victor Martinez, 376. His teammate Alex Avila stays hot, 382. Chris Davis, Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Kemp, all going deep. Kemp's 250th home run goes 396. Dexter Fowler's home run in the bottom of the eighth, probably the most important home run of the night, going 429 feet. And Logan Morrison's went 382 to give the Rays a one-run lead in the 10th. And then Kevin Kiermaier tied it up in the top of the ninth with two down with a 434-foot home run. Let's get you caught up on little intriguing stats tonight.
Statistically speaking,
Kevin Kiermaier has six home runs this year, Ned, and three of them have come on pitches of 96 miles an hour plus. So he likes the heat. Highest swing percentage in baseball this season. Corey Dickerson swings 59.4% of the time. He's leading the AL at .346 batting average. Avisail Garcia, 58.7%, and he is hitting .333. So, Ned, what does that tell you? If you swing and you swing at pitches in the zone, there's a decent chance you're going to have a high batting average.
Well, especially if they don't move except straight.
Okay, that helps.
Yeah, that helps.
Jacob DeGrom is the first pitcher in 2017 throw 105 or more pitches in four or fewer innings. First Mets pitcher to do so since July of 2007. Tonight's the third time this year that Tanaka's allowed seven earned runs in a start. He'd never done that before from 2014 to 2016. Astros have scored 137 runs against relief pitching this year, most in baseball, not even close. Tonight was Chad Pinder's first career two-home run game for the A's. His second home run was 453 feet. He's one of seven players with two 450-foot home runs this year. I just read that, and I don't even know what it means. Orioles had the AL's best record through May 9th. They were 22-10. Ned, they now have the worst record. They have the worst record, 5-14 since. Astros, first time ever with the best record in baseball at the end of May. They're 38-16. Last year's through the same amount of games, through 54 games, the Cubs were 39-15. And the Indians have homered in 16 straight games. Longest streak they've homered in 17 straight. It was back in 01 through 02 in the heyday of the Cleveland Indians organization. So there you go. You're caught up on everything pertinent in Major League Baseball. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in this podcast, but you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get in on the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and Ned Coletti alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in. Your everything audio app.